This is Morning Edition from NPR News with special coverage of today's plane crashes into the World Trade Center in New York City. I'm Bob Edwards. Two aircraft crashed into the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan, about 18 minutes apart. These incidents occurred about an hour ago, Eastern Time. The FBI is investigating whether the planes were hijacked. President Bush was in Sarasota, Florida this morning to speak about education. He called today's incident a terrorist attack.
Today we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country. I have spoken to the Vice President, to the Governor of New York, to the Director of the FBI, and have ordered that the full resources of the federal government go to help the victims and their families and to conduct a full-scale investigation to hunt down and to find those folks who committed this act. Terrorism against our nation will not stand.
President Bush speaking this morning in Florida. He is on his way back to Washington now, cutting short his visit to Florida, where he was to promote his education programs this morning, reading to elementary school children. The president may be the only one in the air at this hour. The Federal Aviation Administration has grounded air traffic in the United States because of reports that these planes that crashed into the World Trade Center today, these planes were hijacked, so the FAA has grounded these air traffic. One of the towers of the World Trade Center appears to have completely collapsed. I am obviously watching television pictures. At least a good part of one tower has fallen to the ground. This is a 110-story building. Each of the two towers is 110 stories high. NPR's Jackie Leiden is in Brooklyn, New York, and she can see the World Trade Center from where she is. Jackie?
Well, I think it's fair to say that at this grave hour I can see the enormous columns of smoke where one of the trade towers used to be. Obviously, we don't know the extent of this horrendous damage at this time, and it'll be some hours before we do. What we do know is that this is a spectacularly brilliant morning in New York. Yesterday morning was thunderclouds and rain, and so the people behind this would have had a strikingly poor choice of words, a very, very clear target to strike this morning. You may be able to hear sirens behind me. I'm in Brooklyn, Bob, but every conceivable manner of emergency vehicle is in a convoy past this building on its way into Manhattan. You can hear helicopters overhead. I'm sure those are city helicopters. We are trying to sort this out at this hour, and one of the frustrating things is that telecommunications in New York is damaged, and so being able to talk to each other is limited. My mobile phone service, for example, is completely dead.
And not to raise alarm, but there have been reports that this could be a wider thing. Reports of a plane crash at the Pentagon. The West Wing of the White House has been evacuated as a precaution. The Treasury Building, the United States Capitol Building. We're going now to NPR's Jim Zarroli, who's in our New York bureau. Jim, what do you have? Jim Zarroli, are you here?
Hello.
Jim.
Hi. Well, I can tell you, as Jackie indicated, it's a pretty chaotic time in New York City right now. There's ever since the first explosion happened at 8:45 in the morning at one World Trade Center, then about 18 minutes later, the second happened. There is an enormous amount of smoke and confusion and noise. Everywhere you go, you're hearing emergency vehicles, ambulances, fire trucks. In addition, the authorities have pretty much shut down much of the lower half of Manhattan. Bridges, tunnels have been sealed off. The three airports have been closed. Meanwhile, we're starting to hear reports of casualties. The people are beginning to come into the hospitals. It is obviously the World Trade Center is the center of the financial world in New York. 40,000 people work there. In addition, at that time of mourning, a lot of people would have been traveling through the Trade Center on the subway, on the PATH train, coming to work in nearby buildings. There's a potential for a lot of casualties there.
And Mr. Alex Chachesky is joining us now. Mr. Chachesky, are you there?
Yes, hi. Greb Chachesky, yes.
What did you see this morning?
I was on my way to work across the Brooklyn Bridge, and I was about a third of the way across heading to Manhattan when I saw a plane. And they're never on this approach on the East River because I walk it every day. And it was coming in over the Manhattan Bridge towards Lower Manhattan, and it banked very slightly towards Brooklyn, which told me that there was something wrong, and I thought it was going to crash. And then all of a sudden, it swung over as if it was going towards Newark Airport, and hit the World Trade Center dead on.
Was this the first of the two?
This was the first plane, and then I was walking across the bridge. I thought it was an accident, and I wondered whether to turn back, figuring Lower Manhattan would be shut down. And I made it across the three-quarters of the way across the bridge, probably, and I was standing there with somebody I'd met who I know, and we watched as the other plane came in and hit it. I saw the other plane just as it sort of impacted the second plane.
So you didn't get a good look at the second plane?
No, I only saw it just as it hit.
Describe the first plane.
The first plane was, I'm not very good at planes, it would have been like a 747, 737. It was a fairly large plane. So it would have held like maybe 120 to 150 people. And it was... silver undersides. The top, my memory is it was orange, but I'm not sure. I didn't recognize it as a particular brand. I didn't look up and say, oh, that's Delta, or oh, that's US Air.
But it was a commercial airliner.
That's the impression I got. It could have been a package service for all I know, but it was definitely it was a larger plane. It wasn't a small plane.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, certainly.
Jim Zaroli, back to you.
Yeah, it's I have to say it is an amazing sight to see the two towers of the Trade Center, both billowing smoke, and it looked to be a large part of the towers were damaged. Just a little while ago, we had this number two World Trade Center, the top part of it, which had been badly damaged, a lot of smoke, looked like it had toppled over. So there's obviously been an enormous amount of damage and confusion down there.
This is having ramifications everywhere. Air travel has been shut down at every airport across the country. Tunnels and roads into and out of Manhattan have been shut down. Trading at the New York Stock Exchange has been suspended. The Pentagon, the Capitol Building, the White House, the State Department, and the Treasury Building here in Washington all have been evacuated. According to U.S. officials and eyewitnesses, an aircraft crashed into the Pentagon today, setting off an explosion, throwing people off their feet inside the building, and setting off a massive fire. And one eyewitness said the plane appeared to be an airliner. So precautions are being taken as if this were a coordinated terrorist attack, as President Bush indicated this morning. Again, the president is on his way back to Washington. He was in Florida promoting his education themes. NPR's Tom Jelton is at the Pentagon. Tom, do you know anything more about this crash, this report of a crash at the plane crash at the Pentagon?
Yeah, Bob, I was just evacuated from the Pentagon along with the thousands of other people who work there. You know, 23,000 people work at the Pentagon. A plane did crash into the what's essentially the southwest side of the building. There's smoke all over that part of the building, and it's billowing into the courtyard. It's impossible to get close for a good view of it, but that entire side of the Pentagon is blackened. I couldn't see the aircraft itself, so I couldn't tell you how large it was. The entire area around the crash site has been cordoned off. As you can imagine, there are helicopters, fire trucks, police, a lot of military personnel have been sort of instantly mobilized to herd people away from the Pentagon. But I did overhear on the radios of security personnel that there are people trapped inside the Pentagon who are unable to get out, trapped by smoke. The plane crashed into what, in fact, is a new wedge at the Pentagon. It has just been under construction. And we don't know, as I say, casualties. Some offices were clearly destroyed. There are a lot of distraught people. I spoke to one Air Force colonel who just happened to be down the hall when the plane hit, and he said it hit right into his office. He's extremely upset because he doesn't know who was injured there, but there clearly was a major attack on the Pentagon this morning.
A reminder, you're listening to NPR special coverage of this morning's tragic events, which began about an hour and 20 minutes ago when a plane struck the World Trade Center building in New York City. A second plane struck the second tower moments later, and part of one of those towers has since collapsed. Back to Tom Jelton now at the Pentagon.
Bob, who knows what's going on? Just before I was evacuated, I showed up at the Pentagon. I actually parked in the Pentagon North parking lot, and just as I parked, I saw a helicopter come swooping around, but there was not any sign of smoke when I got there. And just a few minutes later, of course, came the order to evacuate. But just before that, I had been speaking with a senior...
You're listening to NPR special coverage of this morning's tragic events, which began about an hour and 20 minutes ago when a plane struck the World Trade Center building in New York City. A second plane struck the second tower moments later, and part of one of those towers has since collapsed. Back to Tom Jelton now at the Pentagon.
Bob, who knows what's going on? Just before I was evacuated, I showed up at the Pentagon. I actually parked in the Pentagon North parking lot, and just as I parked, I saw a helicopter come swooping around, but there was not any sign of smoke when I got there. And just a few minutes later, of course, came the order to evacuate. But just before that, I had been speaking with a senior military officer, and he told me that the DOD had mobilized its crisis action team. This is a special Pentagon team that's mobilized in times of crisis or national emergency. It obviously works very closely with other agencies. And they already at that point, this was about a half hour ago or so, already at that point did have information that one of the planes that struck the World Trade Center had in fact been hijacked. So the assumption clearly is that this was a terrorist attack. And now that a plane has hit the Pentagon, it has to be considered not only a coordinated terrorist attack, but a very well-organized one, a very broad conspiracy, and one which the U.S. intelligence community was completely unprepared for. There was no threat condition alert at the Pentagon this morning. Evidently, there was no warning of this whatsoever. You know, the U.S. intelligence community casts a very wide net, but this one clearly caught it off guard.
And again, for what it's worth, the Reuters news agency is quoting Abu Dhabi television as saying it had received a call from the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine, claiming responsibility for this morning's actions. Going back to New York briefly now to Mr. Stanley Mises. Are you there, sir?
I am.
And what did you see this morning?
Well, this morning I was sitting in my breakfast table when I heard this loud explosion. I ran downstairs and I saw smoke billowing out of the World Trade Center, and then just moments later another hit, and I live close to a mile away from the Trade Center, and you could feel the heat. You could feel the heat right where I was standing, at least a mile away. It was unbelievable. Then later we're standing, I mean, it's so mind-boggling you can't imagine, with thousands of people running across the avenue in every which direction. It's day of the locust squared. You can't imagine what it's like. Then, finally, when things seemed to be calmed, I mean, calmed in the sense that, you know, we were watching the World Trade Center's two towers just billowing with smoke, suddenly the second Trade Center began to collapse, and there was a shower, like a meteorite shower, of sparks and debris and dust and a cloud of smoke, and the cloud of smoke seemed to come out of nowhere and traveled with a speed that was so frightening that people seemed to emerge out of a fog running away from it. It's the most terrifying thing I have ever witnessed in my life.
Mr. Stanley Mises in New York, thank you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Tom Jalton at the Pentagon?
Well, Bob, I can certainly reinforce those comments. The Pentagon attack was obviously far less serious than what happened at the World Trade Center. Nevertheless, there are many people missing, and there was a lot of anguish in the courtyard of the Pentagon. Just as I exited from the Pentagon a few moments ago, I was next to one man who could not locate his fiancée, who works in that area where the plane hit. So the Pentagon is very well guarded. It's near National Airport. There is significant air traffic control all around this area. But clearly, they were unable to stop this plane from crashing into the Pentagon. It underscores the vulnerability of the United States to determined terrorist attacks. These would clearly be suicide-type attacks. And, of course, there's been a lot of controversy about what kinds of threats the United States faces from its adversaries overseas. This administration has focused on the threat that could come from a long-range missile attack, but others have pointed out that much lower technology type attacks are perhaps a greater danger, and certainly what has happened this morning would seem to support that.
Back to New York for another eyewitness report. Ginger Miles, are you there?
Okay.
Can you tell us what you saw today?
Bob, what is more pressing is what we are experiencing right now. Our building is a block east of the Trade Towers, and I did see the explosions, and I worried about whether or not we should evacuate, but we thought not to because the street was so bad, and some part of the structure collapsed, and it's not on fire, but our whole apartment and the whole building is full of smoke. And we can't get out the front door because there's so much smoke debris there. But we're told that it's not fire. The streets right now are completely empty. So we've wet a bunch of towels. We've just wet a bunch of towels. I've just put my cat in a carrier. Cars are covered with dust. My whole apartment is covered with dust. So it looks like, though, that I don't think fire is going to be our problem. So that's all.
And you're one block from the World Trade Center?
East, yeah. East, one block east. Yep.
How high up are you?
11th floor. 11th floor.
Can you see out your window?
Yeah.
What's going on
up there? It's dust. I mean, you know, it's, in other words, this is what we feared, that there would be an aftershock or whatever you call it. We can not even see the top of the Trade Towers where the fire is. He thinks one is not there anymore. Oh God, you can probably see it better than I can.
Yes, one of the towers, the upper part of it at least, has collapsed.
Well, that's what happened. That's why we have so much dust. That's because the dust, you know, it didn't fall on us, but it fell close enough that it created a huge noise and then filled our house with smoke. We ran down the stairs only to discover that we couldn't get out, nor would we even want out, because it's so smoky out there. And now we've just got a suitcase of wet towels, and my roommate wants to talk to you here.
Yeah, so it seems like the South Tower disappeared, and we have a huge dust cloud which engulfed the whole block on Broadway and the area. And right now, I see some people coming on the street with masks, and it's just like after a blizzard, you know, it looks like covered gray dust. From up here, 11th floor, it looks like.
So you couldn't get out of your building?
We went all the way down to about the second floor, but the dust was so thick, though, so you couldn't go in there. It's just you couldn't breathe. So we went. I thought it was better to go back up, where we had some air. So, and then now the dust settled, so it looks like I mean, I don't know what happened to all those people who were down there. And it's at least, I mean, on Broadway on the cars, it's about a three inch cover with dust, the cars on Broadway, just right up two blocks south of City Hall.
What about other people in your building? Are they trapped in their apartments?
When we were down, they all came to the conclusion it's better to stay in, and once we figured out it wasn't fire, it was just dust from the building. Now I can see one tower. The north tower is still standing, but the south tower disappeared because just not here anymore.
So the dust from the collapsed tower is what you think you're...
I'm quite sure that. It's completely covered the area. I could hear when it came, it sounded like a hurricane, and the building was shaking. And I thought maybe there's another plane hitting the area or something, but I think it was the dust from the collapsing building, which so it doesn't. I don't see any structural damage to buildings everything's just covered in dust, and a few cars drove into the sidewalk, I guess, because it was probably turned day into night.
So you think the dust will settle and you'll be able to get out?
I can see from the 11th floor down. It's still in the air, but it's. It dissipated. I mean, the visibility, I would say, is about 50 or 100 yards.
Again, to remind our listeners, this is an eyewitness speaking to us from New York, just a block from the World Trade Center, which was attacked this morning by two planes, one plane hitting one tower, another plane hitting the second tower, the 110-story New York World Trade Center. One of those towers is... no longer 110 stories. The upper part of it has collapsed, and the dust from that collapse is now engulfing this gentleman's apartment building, and he can't get out. There's also been a plane crash at the Pentagon, where NPR's Tom Jelton is standing by. Tom, what else do you know?
Well, Bob, I certainly can confirm that there was a direct hit on the Pentagon by an aircraft. I saw it. I didn't see it happen, but I saw the aftermath of it. I could not get close enough to actually see the point of impact and how much damage was done, nor could I determine what kind of plane it was. I'm now about three or four blocks southwest of the Pentagon, and now police, even in this area at this distance, are rushing people away. There are sirens going off around me. They're trying to get people even further away from the Pentagon. Clearly, at this point, it's hard to distinguish between what would be cautionary moves and moves that are in response to other events. I have, for example, just heard that the U.S. Capitol has been evacuated, the House and the Senate. That clearly was a precautionary move. Nothing has happened there. But when you've got a coordinated terrorist attack like this on the economic, financial, military institutions of our country, the security forces clearly feel they need to evacuate all the vulnerable points, and the Pentagon has been evacuated, and now we understand the Capitol as well.
Reports are that the planes that hit the World Trade Center may have been hijacked, and as a result, the Federal Aviation Administration has stopped air traffic at airports all across the country. Air Force One is flying. The president is returning from Florida, and NPR's Don Gagne joins us now from the White House.
Bob, I'm right across the street from Lafayette Park. At 9:41, of course, the president's not here this morning. At 9:41, the word went out from the White House, everybody out. They evacuated the press that was there, staff that was there. We could see people coming out of the White House kitchens. And initially, we all moved just onto the sidewalk in front of the White House. Then the park police came through just within moments and said, everybody across the street into Lafayette Park. Then, minutes after that, park police again swept through and moved us all to the far north of the park to the far north end of the park before eventually police, some of them with machine guns, telling us to stand across the street, that we move across the street. So that's my vantage point right now, literally a block away from the White House, and I'm looking toward the front entrance. It's relatively quiet right now. There have been sirens everywhere, police trucks, fire trucks, police cars. Even at one point, about 10 minutes ago, a lone U.S. military fighter jet flew overhead and headed from the north, or from the south to the north, from the mall area, and then as it got over the White House, headed to the west. It was at a pretty high altitude. But that's what we know right now. No official word from anyone here on what actually may have prompted the evacuation at the White House, other than just a precautionary measure.
It's so difficult at the moment in all this confusion to sort out fact from other types of reports. Here is a bulletin from the Associated Press that says a car bomb exploded outside the State Department, according to a senior law enforcement officials. Again, that's just an initial report. We don't know for sure. Maybe we'll find out more about that in a bit. Don, a while ago I saw a television picture of the White House in the executive office building, and it was a long shot, so it was difficult to pick out, but there was smoke.
I saw just wisps of that smoke in the air. The smoke would have been coming from the south side. Of course, I'm on the north side, which is where the press entrance is, and I haven't been able to get around much from where they've told us all to wait right here. So I can't say what that was or how close it might have been, or frankly, I haven't seen the TV pictures either to be able to compare that to what I saw.
Don, thank you very much, and we'll be getting back to you.
Okay, I'll be